And could you open your Bibles, a few Bibles? I can help you because it's not an easy passage, this, to Ephesians chapter 4, page 1175. If you're visiting this particular Sunday, we're working through the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, page 1174. And let me pray for us. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the world's light in our darkness. And so we ask that following you, we may never walk in darkness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, two sixth formers after A-levels were planning a gap year. They went to work at Waitrose in Twyford for 6 months to earn some money. And they began their trip by going to India as backpackers. And walking in a remote part of India, they were concerned as darkness began to fall as they went between two villages because they were told there were man-eating tigers in the area. Suddenly, as dusk was really coming down hard and darkness creeping on, there was an enormous roar from the undergrowth. So both started running. One stopped after a while and hurriedly put on his trainers, his training shoes. His friend looked back and said, "Come on, there's no point in doing that. Running shoes won't help you outrun the tiger." His friend said to him, "I know, but I don't need to outrun the tiger, but only you." Well, tigers apart, isn't that the way of the world? Everybody does their own thing. We live for ourselves. We put ourselves first. And yes, we say to ourselves, "I must stand on your own two feet. Think only of yourself. Me first." Well, Paul in Ephesians says, no, that's not the case. You see, Paul speaks here, as does the whole of the New Testament, about Christian unity. In chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul talks about how everything is going to one destination. That is, everything will one day be seen to have Jesus as Lord over all of it and all people. And in an age where so many people live their lives at cross purposes to those around them, if we're Christians, we're called to merge our lives with the purposes of God in Jesus Christ. Chapters 1 to 3 give us doctrine in this letter of Paul's. Chapter 4 onwards begins to apply Christian belief to living. Since God is committed to bringing all things under Jesus Christ, what does that mean for us? There will be a day when Jesus Christ is seen to be all in all. If you're a Christian, you have a calling, and there's no higher calling than that calling of God in Christ on your life. Two things to think about this morning. Verses 2 to 6, the apostle talks about one love. And verses 7 to 10, about one Lord. First of all, one love. Verse 2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, love there is given as a big thing to be heading for in our lives. And verse 3 has a very telling phrase. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. is not something we create, this unity, but something we keep because it's made and given in God. Now the church in Ephesus, look at the book of Acts, reflected the extraordinary mixture of people who became one in Christ, who shared one love. Think about how Ephesians speaks earlier about the wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile broken down. And the church at Ephesus had those who were Jewish believers by background from the synagogue, but also people who were sorcerers. They were pagans who'd left the occult to find freedom and truth and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Keep, he says, keep the unity of the Spirit. Preserve the togetherness we already have. Become one with God and each other. And so he goes on and he explains everything we hold in common. He puts it like this. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. We belong together. We have all that in common if we belong to Jesus Christ. Now look, don't stare at your neighbour, but just glance to somebody perhaps beside you or in front of you. Just think about the person on your left or right or behind you or in front of you. What are they like? Well, they may look ordinary, but if they're a friend of Jesus, they're not ordinary, as the Spirit of Christ dwells in them. Do you see, Christians have a triune God in their lives. He's worked in them. He's going to bring everything to fulfillment in Christ. I remember going to northwest Kenya some years ago, and a place called Kapsua, and it was an African inland mission hospital, and there are various churches in different settlements. And one of the doctors there said to me, "John, come and preach for us this coming Sunday." I can't tell you the altitude. I had to preach 3 times on a Sunday morning. And up and down, up and down. I'd arrive at each church breathless because I wasn't used to that high altitude. And then going into one fellowship, all meeting outside, about 200 people. And the local pastor, as he greeted me warmly, he said to me, and it's very striking, his lovely Kenyan accent, he said, "Any friend of his is a friend of mine. Any friend of Jesus is a friend of mine." There's a deep link between believers, one love. Now, that picture of Reading, there may well be camaraderie at a Reading football match, or even at a Fulham football match, you, Andrew Imlay, you join together with fellow supporters, and it's a really exciting thing, especially if they're winning. But actually, supporters in a football stadium are a shadow of Christian fellowship. The church, that's you if you're a believer, is qualitatively different. And you and I, one love, we're to enjoy that love and to display it. One Lord. Second, one love. Second, one Lord. And it's really surprising because verse 7, the apostle puts it like this, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Isn't that strange? God's route to unity is by diversity. We're not all the same. We have different gifts to bring to the family of God, to bring to the church so we can grow into maturity. Jesus, verse 7, decides because he is the Lord. Sorry to hark back to football, but I'm not a great one for watching football on television, but I did watch a few of the World Cup matches. In my stamp album at home, I have it, my brother has as well, we have first class, they issue stamps celebrating 1966 and the World Cup. I had a flick through my stamp album to remind me of those heady days when I was very small. But actually, weren't you a bit excited with England creeping up? Gareth Southgate, I thought he's a brilliant person there to run the team. He always had the big picture in mind as he brought different players on and off in the competition. And unlike some local football in England, I was very struck that there were no goal hogs or glory hogs in the World Cup. And Gareth Southgate had that team wonderfully under his controlling guidance. The manager was the key. But look at verse 5. We're told there that we have different roles and different abilities. Verse 7, sorry. But verse 7 and 8 goes on like this. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Different skills at different times in the match of a Christian life. And then rather strangely, it's a hard verse. Psalm 68 is quoted. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. The scholars say that that psalm was probably sung and said and used in remembrance of the Ark of the Covenant being taken to the Temple Mount by David. It was a great celebration. And there's God's king making his entry in triumph to God's city. There had been victory over Philistines who pushed them into the darkest places for some time. But they won. And yes, the loot is given out then to those who are the victors. Does that remind you of somebody else? I think this is what the Apostle Paul has in mind. He says, do you remember somebody else who didn't go to the depths with the Philistines, but actually he plumbed the depths of hell, gave up the glories of heaven for you and I? He was there. He came as the bread and wine reminds us this morning to the cross for us. See, what was true of David was true of the Lord Jesus Christ in a much fuller sense. Do you realize what Christ has done for you? One Lord, and therefore there's one love. John Wesley said there's no such thing as a solitary Christian. We belong together. And in the Christian life, the problem is probably not with other Christians or colleagues or your wife or husband or parents. The problem probably is with your relationship with Jesus Christ, because you belong to him. And actually, with him at the center, we'll live for other people. We'll serve the Lord with all we've got. I love the target of verse 16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Isn't it a great picture of how we should be living and working if we belong to Christ in this fellowship wherever we normally go to church? One love, one Lord. We need to repent, don't we? We've not expressed that as we should. And yet that's what we're called to, each one of us. Amen.